we started talking last night about Passover. The first Passover was from Egypt, and what preceded the Passover were the 10 plagues. And those 10 plagues, you know, when you hear comic book theology about them, it was because they were to punish the Egyptians. But that had nothing to do with it according to the scriptures. The purpose of the plagues, from God's perspective, was to destroy the idols that his people had been worshiping. And so, as we found out for many years now, that each of those 10 plagues worked to destroy the breadth or importance given to various forms of idolatry that Israel had adopted. There's another Passover, and that's the Passover from coming out of Babylon, when they went into the Babylonian captivity. And so the same thing has to happen. If you remember, when the diaspora took place, almost all of Israel was in Babylon. There was a handful of people left in Jerusalem. But when the call came to go and rebuild the temple, most of the Jews that were in Babylon had become successful. And so it was only the poor and the empty and the failures that left in the Babylonian Passover and went back at the time of Ezra and Nehemiah to rebuild the temple. And they screwed up too, as you well know. But according to the Bible, the most impressive Passover happened while they were in Israel. They were in the promise. But the book of the law had been lost for years. And so Josiah was a young kid, and he was named king. And he happened upon the book of the law. And he instituted the destruction of the idolatry that Israel had adopted. And it was massive. It's the 23rd chapter of 2 Kings. And we'll probably look at it quite a bit between now and Passover. But listen to what it says. And just go to 2 Kings chapter 23. I should have said that at the start, because this is going to take forever for you to find 2 Kings. Did you find it? Ronnie's there?
Almost. Yeah.
What page, Pete?
Page 457 in the Gideons.
374 in my Bible. Listen to what he says in verse 21. Well, first of all,
chapter 23.
Yeah. I mean, you can go throughout this, the 23rd chapter. He broke down the house of the Sodomites. He brought all the seats, the priests, out of the cities of Judah that defiled all the high places. I'm just reviewing, just when you in your own time. He slew all the priests of the high places that were there upon the altars and burned men's bones. And in verse 21 it says, and the king commanded all the people, saying, keep the Passover unto the Lord your God, as it is written in the book of the covenant, And surely there was not holden such a Passover from the days of the judges that judged Israel, nor in all the days of the kings of Israel, nor of the kings of Judah, but in the 18th year of the king Josiah, wherein this Passover was holden in the Lord's Jerusalem, to the Lord in Jerusalem. Now, what did they do? Why was this the greatest Passover? Because they willingly destroyed the idolatry that they had accepted of the people of the land. You remember there were 7 usurpers on the land, and they kept coming back all the time. And this is a parable for what has happened in us. That we have taken for granted all of the value systems which is idolatry of the world, and we've adopted them and put God's name on them. And that's the same thing that Israel did. In every generation, it's like once every 40 years, they had to go back and destroy all of these value systems. And so what we're going to do between now and Passover is look at the value systems that we've accepted as carte blanche, that are the opposite of what it means to be in faith or in 100% dependency on God. And we're going to see and look at them in the Scriptures, so that we can see what Paul said, that all the things that happened to Israel happen for our benefit, so that you could see. Now, if you don't have one of these, you should get it, but there's a picture of your subconscious mind that Mr. Rutledge put together, and it's got the pillars, the grove, Molech, the temple prostitutes, the altar of sacrifice, the table of the sacred meal, the music, the tithes, the gifts, the drink offerings, the incense. This is a picture of your subconscious mind, or really of your mind. And it's nothing but a series of offerings to the false gods, because that's the way we've been raised. We didn't know any better. And so we did this back in 80-something. We went through all of these in great detail. It took us over a year to go through them, and we're not going to go through them in that much particular. But it may end up that it's a possibility, there's a slight possibility that during all this study that you might get mad at me. So I just wanted to... It really hurts my feelings when you get mad at me, so I just wanted to.
Thank you for that disclaimer.
Huh?
Thank you for that disclaimer.
Yeah. So, and the first thing that I want to do then is just take a look at this 2 Kings. And I encourage you, please, study this on your own. Look at this on your own. Don't just come here and expect to be spoon-fed. Manasseh was the king before Josiah, and he really screwed up. He was 12 years old when he began to reign, and everything was messed up. And he messed it up 1,000 times further. And so, in chapter 22... it says, we have to start in 22 for a minute. It says, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And now, you know, it doesn't say a lot about his youth, but in verse 8, and Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Saphon the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, "Thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of them that do the work and have the oversight of the house of the Lord." And the scribe showed to the king, saying, "Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book." And Saphon read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. He was in such dismay over what the law said, and the law is spirit, if you have any. So what he was dismayed about was his total and complete dismay that he and his people were walking in the way of the Gentiles, walking in the way of the world instead of the way of God. Now this is all a spiritual. This isn't there won't be any how-tos. There won't be any "you should do this." I don't give a. There won't be anything. It'll just be I pray that there will be clarity so you can see truly what idolatry is versus what faith and dependence and mercy and grace are. So that's the predicate. So somehow somebody delivered, they found the book of the law. The temple was just sort of there, and it was, you know, they did the sacrifices according to however they thought they should, but nothing was done according to the law. All right? What?
Thinking how one of the reasons it's so clear is because they were so far away. The contrast of light and dark was incredibly dramatic, and made it, you know.
And we're
when you're kind of close and dancing on the edge of it, it's not as dramatic to you. But
I promise you, we're farther away than they were.
Well, still I have a point, I believe.
And that's why I agree with your point. Because we're still in the same place that they were, is that we have. And I'm talking about us, is not just us here. I'm talking about us as a people. We have divorced ourselves from the law and the prophets and the writings, except when it conforms to some preconceived idea that you have. I mean, and this has taken not just 40 years to do, it's taken generations and generations to do. So I'm not, when I said that about, I wasn't saying about us, I mean, about this, I was saying about us universally in this generation.
Well, it says, God wars with Amalek in every generation. Well, Amalek's still there. It doesn't matter what the previous generation saw.
And then there's there was a prophecy of Huldah. And go to verse 15 and you'll see something, I pray. And the prophet, this is they introduced her earlier, so you can go back and read that. But starting in verse 15, "And she said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel."
Excuse me, are you still in 23?
Now we're in 22, verse 15. We've never been in 23 yet. I'm sorry. Then she said unto them, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Tell the man that sent you to me." Thus, and you'll see that in a few verses before this. "Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will bring evil upon this place, and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read. Because they have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all their works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place, and shall not be quenched." Now, you got to understand, if you don't believe this, if you don't believe what I'm going to say now, then you might as well just close the book. But to burn incense is that burning incense is your thoughts. You got it? So, how many of us have not burned incense continually to other value systems, to other gods, to figure things out? I mean, this is to us. And they even teach you how to, and now our society even teaches us the best way to burn incense onto the other gods. How to be able to speak a thing into existence. How to have positive thinking. How to visualize so you can achieve. How to see so that you can achieve. And I promise you, all of that process is burning incense to the false gods. Because we are to become as this, we are, unless we be converted and become as that little child and humble ourselves and empty ourselves, we can in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. But to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus you shall say to him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heard what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me. I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Therefore I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace, and thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the king the word again. Now, we've got, you know, thousands of pages of notes and all this. If anybody's interested, we've got hours and hours and hours of Bible study tapes, if anyone is interested. But I beg you to make your heart tender before the Lord, that repentance might be total. So that we are without excuse standing before Him. That we have, and we're going to go into a lot of details about a lot of different things that we've taken for granted as just being the way things are. Yeah, they're the way things are for an apostate people. And then the king, now we're in 23, Ronnie, verse 1. And the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets, and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by a pillar, and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep His commandments and His testimonies and His statutes with all their heart and with all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in the book, in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant or agreed to it. And the king commanded Hilkiah the high priest and the priest of the second order and the keepers of the door to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal. Now, Baal is just a word for, it's a plural word, which means all the vessels that were made for the false gods. Now, you are the temple now of the living God. So, all of the vessels that are used for the worship and the obeisance before the Baals that you have adapted have to be destroyed. Have to be brought out of the temple. Forth out of the temple of the Lord, all the vessels that were made for Baal and for the grove and for the all the host of heaven. And he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron and carried the ashes of them unto Bethel. And he put down the idolatrous priests whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah and in the places round about Jerusalem. Them also that burned incense unto Baal, to the sun and to the moon and to the planets and to all the host of heaven. Excuse me. And he brought out of the grove from the house of the Lord, and he brought out the grove from the house of the Lord without Jerusalem unto the brook Kidron, and burned it at the brook Kidron, and stamped it small to powder, and cast the powder thereof upon the graves of the children of the people. And he brake down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the grove. And he brought all the... And again, every one of these specifics, what these things mean to us, have all been studied, have all been... There's thousands of pages of notes about it. There's hours of... So you can't... I mean... I'm upset. And he brought all the priests out of the cities of Judah, in verse 8, and defiled the high places where the priests had burned incense from Geba to Beersheba, and brake down the high places of the gates that were in the entering in of the gate of Joshua, the governor of the city, which were on a man's left hand at the gate of the city. Now, in the book of Revelation, it talks about the whore of Babylon sitting on the seven mountains. Those seven mountains are the high places of all men's minds. They were actually there, but they were a parable for what we do. And so we have these... You know, that I named Isaiah 57 the Buckner chapter of Isaiah because he was worshiping ideas. Now the whole thing about everyone remember, you go up to the high places to perform all of these acts of worship, but you do that as an automatic when something happens that you don't like or that you're concerned about. Do you understand that? If you think this is just history, then forget it. We might as well just quit. It's always this instead of Christ, which is your mind, is trying to get you to accept a bloodless religion without the cross, causing you to, again, as we talked about last night, to be able to experience the resurrection without the shame. And so these books weren't written just because God wanted to have like 70% of the Bible that no one ever read. They were written for us to understand and see how we make a mockery of the house of God, our temple, by the activities of our mind. Is that? You really understand this? Tom, what's going on?
I was thinking about what you were saying about religion has become. The way we think about it is we want a transaction. We want want to sell something to God in return and be justified by it. I guess I was wondering now, thinking about all the things I've tried to sell. You know, the bloodless religion kind of got me. I was kind of focused on that.
Terry?
What? I'm just trying to
stay here. Now, in verse 9, it was interesting. All this was going on. I mean, we're talking major war here. I mean, these were the things, the most important things about these people's lives. And here this young kid, Josiah, had this book written, and they read it to him. Probably a Levite had to read it to him. And now all of a sudden, all hell is breaking loose in their lives. Does that sound familiar? We just want to be left alone. We don't want anybody meddling in our thought process. God, I remember the resistance the first time I started studying this. Our teaching about it back in the 80s. How do you know that means that?
Remember about the strange fire when they took the incense from the wrong spot?
Well, they started the fire. They started the fire from the wrong spot. It wasn't the fire from the blood, it was the fire from... Well, just start a fire here.
Yeah, fire.
And then they became the toast.
You have to know that you're hopeless, helpless, and without options to even stay in the room and listen to this stuff. Nobody who has any options or any ability or any place to go would stay and listen to this. Because it's just, you know, it's like... Mind your own goddamn business. There's nothing wrong in my house with my family. Screw you. It's just you gotta know you've had it.
That sounds like a good greeting card.
Yeah. Tribute Christmas card.
Well, listen now. There's all this is going on. So now we're in verse 9. Nevertheless, the priests of the high places came not up to the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem. But they did eat of the unleavened bread among their brethren. In other words, they thought everything was fine. They were making a nice living, and the people were following them. And they were teaching people how to be fulfilled and how to have a nice life. And
yeah, they didn't consider Baal a false god.
No, nobody's ever worshipped a false god. Nobody's ever given importance to a false god. They think that's God because they haven't read the book of the law. And that's what all of us are that way. How many of you have spent hours and hours and hours studying, months and years studying the details of the law?
I was a Bible bull champion.
What?
I was a Bible bull.
Bible Bowl.
The land of the blind. In verse 10, and he defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of the children of Hinnom. Now that means it's in the dump. Gehenna is the dump, remember? So they had they built.
It's the best place in the shittiest place. It's like having a view in hell.
Right, because.
But a good view.
Yeah.
But there were high places. So, but you got to hear this. The evidence from there have been jillions of authors write about this about living in hell. Hell is this unbearable aloneness. It's like a burning fire. Yeah, it is all that because it's a dump and they don't want it to smell up the rest of the city, so they burn it. But the evidence is that you're living on one of these high places is the unbearable aloneness. And only you know that. Nobody, this isn't anything that anybody can and he defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of the children of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or his daughter to pass through the fire to Molech. Now, Molech is, we'll spend quite a bit of time on Molech. Because Molech was this, it's a body of a man with the head of a bull, hollowed, and he had his arms stretch out. And they built a fire inside, and the way they accepted whether a child was, they said whether a child was acceptable or not, was they passed him through the arms of the heated Molech. Well, this is there were a million ways of doing it. This is one. And if he wasn't burned, then he was acceptable. But really, to pass through Molech is everything that you learned from your parents is really what Molech is, that's in opposition to this moment of dependency. So you can't have your dessert until you eat your green peas is Molech. And they're all good. They're all necessary. I'm not saying they're not, because you have to do that. You have to have the value systems to bring the person up so that they can reject them. There isn't anything that you learn from your parents, and if you as parents, there isn't anything that you've taught your children that isn't passing them through the fire of Molech. By your silence, I assume you agree with everything I just said.
The seize on that example, you can't have your dessert until you eat your peas. I mean, okay, so the objective is to get your dessert, and what's going to happen is you're going to get dessert, and you're going to keep getting dessert, and sooner or later, you're going to find out that dessert is not fulfilled. It isn't it. And you got to try something else and something else and something else until you find out there's no dessert.
Well, we're out of time. And they took away the horses. So all everybody's favorite little horses we're going to address here tomorrow. Are your little pet horses in your stable? Is this interesting to anybody else?
I got a real sense of that picture that there of the let's see, it would be the sensor of how this thing up here is a sensor and little rocks of incense get tossed on the fire and your thoughts just blaze up and you know, and they're all nice ones. Pissed me off a little bit when I say something you say something.
Good.
And it was like a little rock flared up in my thing, you know, my hearts of incense to God against you. Yeah. I mean, that's just the way it works. And we just
but how do you?
Huh?
But how did it work?
It's automatic.
Did it work?
Didn't even have to try. It doesn't work.
Doesn't work.
But if you don't see it, the rocks just burn, and you let them burn, and you kind of stoke them and get a little life out of them and feel good about yourself and bad about someone else. And we are, our very nature is
hardwired for evil.
For evil. We just do it. We don't have to try.
You know, but after you're with somebody for 30 years, you don't have to have them tell you to see that. Now he just threw some more on there.
There's another one.
The great thing about it is if you can see it, you can repent and just, you know, stop it. You don't have to get your life from that little blaze, you know. You can laugh at it, that kind of thing, where the shame thing kicks in.
Right, because I know you're going to love this one. My a job of someone, of anybody that's a teacher, should be to dig around in that pile and find the shame and hold it before you, or to find out where in that pile you're still worshiping Molech, or where are the groves and where are the pillars, and because we won't voluntarily give these up. That's why the preaching of the cross is the power of God. Because the preaching of the cross is not teaching about the cross. That's why not many should be teachers. Because in almost everything you will offend everybody. Right, Tom? Anything that does not proceed from faith is sin. And anything that has a transaction with this high place has to be, by definition, sin, because it's polluted.
What's so incredible about all that is, from the one who is polluted, who's worshiping Baal, thinking it's God, he's like, how terrible the offense when it's exposed. It's just massive.
Amen. Let's take a vote to see whether or not this is what we're going to study. I'm sorry.
All in favor?
We're not spoon fed, we're knife fed.
Take it, big guy.
All in favor?